All right, then. Hour number one in the books. Starting off hour number two, we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. I'm efforting the head coach of the Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. I'm efforting no longer. The eagle has landed. We are joined by the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Just completed his eighth full season with the Lightning. Longest tenured head coach in the NHL. Second best winning percentage among coaches with a minimum of 410 games. Led Tampa Bay to back-to-back Stanley Cups. Tampa Bay is the second team to win back-to-back cups in the salary cap era. We are joined by John Cooper. John, it's so good to have you back. Congratulations. And how are you?
I'm awesome. It's got to be the jungle karma, man. Every time I come on your show, we win a cup, so we got to keep this going.
Yeah, John, I would love to take credit for that. Believe me, I would love to take credit for that, but I'm guessing it's got a little more to do with you, the organization, the fact you can roll those four lines and everything else, but thank you very much. You've had some time to think about this since that 1-0 win in Game 5 that wrapped up the second straight Stanley Cup. Like, John, when you think back on the accomplishment of winning two straight, what are the moments or memories that stick out to you the most right now?
I think the big thing was winning the bubble, you win your first cup, and it's just an exhilarating relief, all these emotions you have. But we were robbed of doing it in front of fans. And it's kind of rare, you get that second chance to do it again, and the boys came through and did it. And there's a couple of vivid memories I have. Game 7 against the Islanders, Yanni Gord scores that shorthanded goal. It was the loudest I'd ever heard in arena when that goal was scored. And then the last, 30 seconds were just, it was like an earthquake was going on. And then probably the last minute of Game 5 when we beat Montreal, it was like bedlam again. But we missed that. And it was phenomenal to win the Cup the first time, but to be able to do it in front of our fans, it was, in a weird way, maybe it was meant to be that way, and they got to experience it.
Right.
I'm
sorry, I was going to say I would agree with you, John. It was so great to see the opportunity to win that in front of 18,000 fans and what that building must have felt like on the inside. Like, you knew that going into the season, winning a Stanley Cup is hard, really, really hard. How much more difficult is it to win a second straight cup?
Well, and that's the thing, right? When you win, you understand how hard it really is when you don't win. But then when you do win, you understand how many things have to go right for you to win. And whether it's another team gets injured or the puck bounces, there's so many things. So when you're doing it again, you're like, oh, I know we've got the group that can do it, but you just never know. And it's well documented now. Like, we had, McDonough had a broken hand, Goudreau broken hand, Cooch had a broken rib. Like, all these guys, they just gutted through this and to help us will us to another win. And so you really, really appreciate A, how hard it is, and B, the fact that they did it again. Like, I'm just in awe of the players, and it was just so much fun to be a part of.
Honestly, I am too. I am in awe of the players that they did that again, especially given the injuries, John, that you just mentioned. I mean, I could actually follow up and ask you about any of those guys, but let me ask you about Kucherov. He did miss the regular season after hip surgery. He played the last six games with that fractured rib that you mentioned, yet he did join Wayne Gretzky and Mario Lemieux as the only players with back-to-back playoffs of 30 points or more. What is it about him that makes him so special?
Well, that's the word. It's so hard to describe, like, what he sees. And it's just weird. He sees plays happen before everybody else, and more importantly, before the guy he's going against sees it. And I'm not saying he's the only guy that can do that, but, like, if I was going to throw in, into a hat, like, the top four players in the league, Cooch's name's got to go in that hat. And can't sit here and say exactly who is the best, but he has attributes. It's just his skill set with his vision and the way he thinks things. It's elite. And he's really learned now, like, his work ethic is awesome. Like, he just, all those intangibles that you really need to push your talent to the top, he's learned. And it's just, like, it's crazy. It's crazy he missed the whole season, especially on hip, which are so important to have when you skate. And he came in and did what he did is pretty remarkable.
We're talking to John Cooper. John, I know, because you and I have had these conversations, and I know you study things like this, but I want to ask about something that Pat Riley has talked about and written about in the past. And that's what happens after a team has success. And players who've been sublimating themselves for the betterment of the team suddenly want to collect on that fame as individuals. That does not seem to have happened with your group. Is it something you have consciously worked to avoid? And if so, how have you gone about doing that?
Yeah, like, well, it's, excuse me, it's probably a couple years of not getting to where you want to be, a little failure in there, and then learning from it, and everybody understanding, okay, this is the recipe for success, and that recipe was a collective effort. It wasn't just individual. And like I tell the players all the time, when the team has success, individuals will prosper in so many different ways, but it doesn't happen unless we do it together. And we had a really, I know it sounds cliche-ish, but everybody from the trainers and equipment guys to the captain have to all buy into the same thing. And when you pull in, I really believe, like, you need skill on your team. There's no question. But if you got character and skill, a character will trump it. And you need those guys to believe in each other. And they really did. And I think when it's well documented, and we got swept by Columbus a couple years ago when we had 62 wins and all that stuff. It was a awful experience, but I truly believe we're probably not sitting here having this conversation without that experience. And the guys have accepted it. They bought into that. And now they know what the team means. And it's, this is what happens. And I can't guarantee it for everybody, but for this group, they really bought in, and now we've got two cups to show for it.
You do. John Cooper is joining us. You know, John, I've made the point, not everybody understands this. Certainly not everybody agrees with it. Maybe I'm not even right, but I've always said that winning the Stanley Cup, in my opinion, is the toughest thing to do in all of sports. I'm not sure, and this is not to slight any other athlete in any other sport that's won any other trophy. I just don't know collectively that it means more to a group of athletes than it does NHLers to get their name on that cup. Now, I might be wrong, and maybe you can help me explain this, but for instance, Pat Maroon, who has now won three straight, said, quote, "I was basically crying on the bench with 140 left. We just won back-to-back, bleeping amazing," end of quote. So what I'm getting at is this, John, how do you explain what the cup represents and the fact that it's still that special no matter how many times you get your name on it?
Yeah, it's almost inbred to you when you're a young kid and you watch, you read the books. And I always remember Gretzky's book, and he talks about how the Islanders swept them in 83, I think it was. And then they're all walking out and, you know, in their suits and stuff like that. And they walk by the Islanders locker room and they've won the cup, but they're all got ice packs on their bags and they're on their bodies. And I always thought that. And I think it's almost ingrained in players' heads and the grueling war you go through for 2 months. Like, it's a 2 month process of 82 games getting to the playoffs, but then it's 2 months of just a war. And so when you get to the pinnacle, I think every kid's dreamed about it for their entire life. And then to me, it is the most wonderful, iconic trophy in sports. And it's like, you've probably heard me say this before. Nobody really wants to see John Cooper, but when John Cooper walks in somewhere with the Stanley Cup, I mean, it's like walking in with Mick Jagger. Like, it's crazy. And that's the attention it draws. And so you get to that point of having the ability to win it and the names that are etched on it, there's nothing better. And it's something that, you know, they can never take away from you. And so it's such a powerful trophy and the way you have to win it. And I think that's why, you know, players are brought to tears when they do win.
John Cooper, my guest. That Gretzky story that you reset really is something. I've heard him tell that story a number of times. I remember when I first met him, he came on the show and told that story. His point being that we didn't know the price that you had to pay. We saw the Islanders in the locker room. We saw that they literally had nothing left, every last guy in that room, and the sort of sacrifices they had to make. We knew at that point that that's what it took. John, when you say that really nobody wants to see John Cooper, but then I walk in with that trophy and it's like Mick Jagger's here, I would argue that people do want to see you and people react to you. Stamkos said this of you, quote, "He's confident, and that's something that has always spilled over to the teams he's coached. Probably why a lot of them have gone on to become champions, including ourselves." You know, John, I say this not because you and I are having a conversation, but I can hear it. I can hear it in the energy when you and I speak. This confidence that you're able to kind of transfer to others, it is contagious. How do you go about transferring that to others?
Whew. It's hard to say because, like, I try. Like, you have to have – and I don't know if I'm going to even say this the proper way, but there's a fine line, right? Like, you have to be confident. You have to believe in what you're doing, and you have to stand up for your convictions. But, you know, you hope you've got a great balance and morals and things your parents have taught you and how, you know, you treat other people. But in the end, it's all about the team, and you can't put yourself above any of that, but you have to have confidence in what you're doing. And I think, I don't know, you try and bring energy, you try and make people a part of this. You have to make everything bigger than yourself. And you have to, the big thing is you have to make people relevant. And that's something what I've tried to do. Yes, I'm a part of it, but in the end, I'm just a small part of it. And yes, I am the head coach and all that stuff, but relevance is a big thing. And you can't have people in your group that can't feel a part of it. And so I always try and mandate that with myself and with everybody that we're with. And, you know, so far so good. I don't know if that made sense to anybody, but it's, you have to bring energy even on the days when you don't have it. And that's what we've tried to do and surround ourselves with good people. And this is what's happened.
I think that makes all the sense in the world. What I'm hearing from you is, yeah, of course you have to be confident, but the better word might be conviction. You have to have conviction. And that last point you just made, I love too, that you, on certain days when you don't have it, you have to bring energy. In other words, you have to be at your best on your worst days. One more thing, John, if you don't mind. One of your phrases has been, quote, process over outcome, work over hope. I love it. It may seem self-evident, but can you explain what you mean by that? Process over outcome and work over hope.
Well, the big thing is, so I'll give you an example. Game 5 last year against Dallas in the finals. We have a chance to close them out. We end up losing in overtime. Kudos on Dallas. They beat us. I felt we didn't play our best game, and I felt we weren't as focused. And part of that came down to, I think when you get that close to win a Stanley Cup, you're thinking of the outcome over the process that got you there. And so it was one of those situations of turn the cell phones off. Your friends will be there. Trust me, the text messages you're going to receive after you win are going to crush the text messages you're going to receive before you win. Get out of the limelight, focus on the game and our process that got us here. So I'm just trying to put in a little example over that. And then the other one was, you know, hope is a wonderful attribute and everybody should have it, but it shouldn't be a strategy. And you have to work to get there. And so, you just don't want to hope you're going to win. You got to work yourself to win. And so you just kind of, we tied that into the group and our thought process. And, you know, like saying the process, there's a process to it. And it's all the practices, it's our meetings, it's everything, our habits that have got us to this one point. And then the outcome will follow. But you can't think about the outcome. The rest of time will think of the outcome, but you have to trust it, and that's what we've done, and it's served us well.
I love hope is an attribute, but not a strategy. He is the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning and the longest tenured head coach in the NHL, and they just went back to back. John, I'm not going to ask you about 3. I'm going to let you enjoy number 2, but really good to have you on the show. I do appreciate the relationship very much, and always good to talk to you, John. Congrats.
Thanks, my man. I love coming on, and hopefully talk soon.
You know it. Absolutely. John Cooper joining us. One of my favorites to talk to.
Hey, John.
Hey, John. You're a damn good coach. Damn good leader. Infectious leader. And one of the guys I love to not only talk to, but listen to. Okay. That's one. Still ahead. A conversation with Charles Robinson. Great journo. A senior NFL writer for Yahoo Sports. Speaking of the NFL, I want to talk about vaccines and whether or not we have an issue. Certain NFL stars are saying, you know what? I'm not feeling that. I'm not doing that. And the NFL has made it very clear for business and for health, but for business, we need you to get vaccinated. And certain players are saying, I don't need you to tell me what I need to do. So we have a problem. We have an issue. I want to get into it. Coming up at 40 past, James Kelly. Big head bets.
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is
pulled. I'm walking off after today for a 2-week vacation. Good news, bad news. Well, maybe just good news, good news. Maybe you need another 2-week break from me. If that's the point, you're going to get it. Other good news. I'm going to knock out these 2 weeks, and then I'm good to roll through the end of the year. Once I take that month in the summertime, man, it is all fall. Essentially, aside from the end of the year, the last week of the year, it is straight through to March Madness. So that's good, too. When we come back, telephone calls, the big head, James Kelly, and more of your reaction. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Call me at 1-800-636-8686. And good to talk hockey. Good to talk to the Stanley Cup champion head coach, John Cooper. Always good to talk to somebody who answers a question by saying, let me give you an example. Do we have time for a story? Love guys like that. Like it or not, we are living in times of massive inflation. Look around you. Things are getting very expensive. So what can you do to protect your savings in your retirement? I can tell you what I did. I bought some real gold and silver. Why? Because gold and silver are time-tested to help preserve your wealth during times of heavy inflation, like times that we're in right now. So how do you get real gold and silver? You get it by calling the precious metals experts at the Oxford Gold Group. They will teach you everything there is to know about getting real gold and silver delivered to your home and how you can have real gold and silver in your IRA and your 401k too. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now, 833-899-GOLD. That's what I did. 833-899-GOLD. Get your free investment guide. The Oxford Gold Group is here to help protect your savings and retirement. Call them right now. 833-899-GOLD. Get gold that you can hold from the Oxford Gold Group. Once more, 833-899-GOLD.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What are you doing Saturday? I'm flying. But if you're not, Saturday on CBS, an afternoon of sports starts on the court at 1 Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. A couple of more intense battles in the Big Three. Then at 3 Eastern, noon Pacific, it is off to the golf course for live PGA Tour action at the 3M Open. All coming up on Saturday on CBS. Again, I love John Cooper. One of my favorite interviews in any sport. And we'll always talk hockey here. All right, so open phones this segment. Coming up next segment, I've got the big head, James Kelly. Can't wait to get into the weekend action. We're going to break down some baseball, some MMA, some future bets in the NFL. So get yourselves together. And I love it. People have been reacting more and more to the head, because the head has been hitting at a very high rate. All of a sudden now on Twitter, I see people coming in from Canada, Australia, worldwide. The head has a worldwide following.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
That's true. That's true. My man is on a heater. He's on one. And we know it can't last forever. Even that big head has to know it can't last forever. But in the meantime, it's going right now. So we will have that for you coming up on at 10:40. Haven't gotten that far yet. Excuse me for that. Some reaction. Adrian Gutierrez, quote, "Hey, Jim, don't forget me at the airport. Signed, your lapper." I will not. I made that mistake once. Good one, Adrian. Good one, Adrian. How about instead, "Hey, Jim, don't forget me at the airport. Signed, your lapper." Good one, Adrian. How about "I forget to read your tweets going forward"? How about "I forget that"? That wouldn't freak me out. That wouldn't stress me out. I wouldn't even go to the lost and found to look for your tweets. They're not lost. They're deleted. Good one, AG. Phoenix Tree. Get out of here, Adrian, with that. It's not funny. Phoenix, I'm funny. Leave the funny to me, Adrian. You're not good at it. Phoenix Tree wrote in tweets, "War Jim, having his bags packed and in the trunk." Not true either. I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy because I want to make sure that anytime I have a vacation or a happy hour or something, that I've earned it. I want to see it through. Work over hope. Finish. My problem with packing, I got two problems with packing. Last time I did this trip, 2 weeks, a long trip. And the thing, like where we're going, Eagle River is super casual. You don't need to pack a lot of stuff. The stuff that takes up the most room in my suitcase is my workout gear because I don't want to come back fat. So I work out every day while I'm there. That takes up most of the stuff. My biggest issue with packing last time was A, the kid, no names mentioned, Logan Rome, took the big suitcase and left me with the suitcase that we used to give to him when he was six. You know, one of those little kid suitcases with the stupid little keys? My man is rolling through the airport with the big boy suitcase with the wheels. And I've got his stupid little suitcase from when he was a kid. I'm like, hey, Logan, son, are you kidding me with that? So there was that. That was one issue. And I had to find a way to get everything in the little kid suitcase. And there were things that didn't make the trip. The other problem, tell me I'm wrong. Have you ever tried to pack after happy hour? You ever tried to pack after getting a few in you? It's hard, man. And it's not, by the way, it's not smart. But if you're packing, that means generally you're going on vacation. And if you're going on vacation and the work is done, you can't wait to get to happy hour. So you hit happy hour and then you pack. It's always a mistake. I always forget something important. And no, Adrian, not my laptop. So no, Rome is not packed and the suitcase is not in the trunk. I have not started yet. Sam in Grand Rapids, great interview with Coach Cooper. Unreal.
Unbelievable.
Cooch.
Unreal.
Like I said, this guy's been showing up a lot lately. Ryan in Sacktown. Hey, JR, when we talk hockey, make sure Alvy plays the correct hockey horn drop. Regards, Rit. Rit, you get so many things wrong, bro. In fact, is there anything you get right? Rit's like, it said hockey horn. Rit is like my kid, except 80 years older. He's got an answer for everything, and never a good one. You're like, why did you play that? It said hockey horn. Like, Rit has never been wrong about anything. When in reality, he's never right about anything. But you ask him, he's never been wrong. Caleb in Green Bay, still in the fight. What's up, Caleb? Good to see you. In fact, Caleb, who knows? I may see you next week. Quote, Harbaugh is talking like a gobble, gobble, jive, turkey gobbler.
Gobble, gobble, turkey, you know?
Where is gobble, gobble, turkey?
Just gobble, 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 turkey from jive turkey gobblers, you know?
Exactly. Exactly right, man. Look in the mirror, dude. Jerry in Huskerland tweets, hey, Harbaugh, win or die trying? I got three words for you. Time to die! Signed, Axel. That is apropos.
We're gonna do it or die trying.
The guy is 0-5 against his rival, and his response is, we're going to win or die trying. All right. Three words. Romy, I pour my salad all over the table. Regards, Charlie Weiss, when the waiter brings out a dinner salad before his main entree. Geoff and Lincoln. No, he doesn't. That's presuming he eats salad. You know, you got me doing it. I mean, I can't fix that. Like, I've told you the story a million times. The last time I saw Charlie Weiss, man, if looks could kill, he gave me the hands with his eyes.
Jungle
and it's
cardboard.
Not because, it's because of that. Exactly. It's nothing I've ever done. It's because of this, Alvin.
Jungle caramel.
That's why that guy hates me.
Charlie in Lawrence, Kansas.
Because of this.
Hey, Jim, this is Charlie Weiss in Lawrence, Kansas. I was trying to get some of that jungle caramel you got. I'll take 2 buckets of it for lunch. Hey, Jim, I went to Jack in the Box this morning for breakfast. I went to the drive-thru and I said, I'll take it. We're drinking cake batter and maple syrup out of a glass. Rack me. I'm out.
Okay, first of all, I don't know why that guy got run. Secondly, I didn't do that. That was not some bit that I did on the show. Chuck, I always liked you. I always liked talking to you. I just took a phone call and I had no idea that guy was going to do that. I have no idea what anybody's ever going to say or do once they get on the air. Well, how could I know? One, I don't read minds. And two, what? Am I supposed to take the word of the caller to the call screener? No, man, they do whatever the hell they want when they get on the air. I didn't know that guy was going to do that. And by the way, did you notice I did run him at the end of the phone call as if to say, I do not endorse that. You know, like that thing on Twitter. Likes or retweets do not mean an endorsement.
Jungle Carmel.
That call getting on the air is not an endorsement. And in fact, I ran him. So why you got to hate me, Chuck? Why you got to hate me? I'm the one who backed you up on the fact that you have a schematic advantage. Now, I'm the one that reminds people that you got a 1600 on the SAT. Come on, man. But then again, I know how it is. You can't control what people think. You can't control what people say. That's the new thing right now in my house. The SAT or the ACT. Logan is on track right now. They give you your choice. You can decide
Logan,
which one you're better at, which one you want to take. That's not how it was when I was that age. All right, when we come back, it's that time. His head is big. He actually, I would say, normally, yeah, and a bunch of useless data rattling around within. Not this guy. The big head has very useful data. His command of the English language is not good. It's below not good. But he's a good numbers dude, man. Let's find out. The big head, James Kelly. Next segment. Let's see what he likes this weekend. Let's see if we might get paid.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Again, if you're just jumping in, I am taking the next 2 weeks off. Yeah, I know. Damn, Rome. Why do you take so much vacation? Because I get so much vacation. And if I don't use it, I will lose it. So, starting today, I've got 2 weeks off. 1-800-636-8686. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, backed by 24/7 support, free access to product specialists, and an experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop on by. Friday is always a big head bets day. And as the big head's following continues to grow, and as our bankrolls continue to fatten, there is no telling which other days of the week I will roll the head in. We've been doing it. I've been spotting him. A Tuesday here, a Wednesday here. But almost always and inevitably, we're going to have him in on a Friday. So here we are. Here the bleep we are. Alvin.
Here we are.
Wow, dude.
We are.
Bro, what is your deal, man? You're losing drops. You're hitting the wrong drops. Who are you, Rit?
Inevitable.
I just said, here we are, here the bleep we are, and you hit the manual buzzer? Damn, they're right next to each other. Okay, haven't they always been? And has that ever happened before?
No. Excuse me, my bad.
Do any of you on the other side of that glass ever own anything?
I called it wrong. My bad.
Anyway, head, what's cracking?
Not much, man. What's going on?
You believe these dudes?
Dude, Alvin, trying to run me before I even start.
The only thing more annoying than those guys acting like that is the fact that you never even come around anymore. So there's that. Listen, I want to say, did you have some response to that?
Right.
I wouldn't if I were you.
I mean, you're trying to make me work more than one day a week, so I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either. All right, so what I want to say is, what I want to say to you, Head, is you are on one, you're on a heater. It'd be awfully nice, though, if we had some NFL we could bet on. But wait a minute, we actually do. What do you say we jump in on a couple of futures, some over-under win totals on a couple of teams? And in fact, I would ask you what you like, but I want to direct you to one in particular. Mm-hmm. Considering Jerry Jones was talking out his ass yesterday, as if there's any other way that he would ever talk. But given that he did, why don't we start right there? What is the over-under on the number of wins for the Dallas Cowboys this season, and how are you playing that?
The over-under is 9.5 wins in a 17-game season now. I'm going to hit the over here, actually. Their offense is easy to buy. Not only is Dak coming back, but pretty much their entire offensive line will be healthy, Jim, and they should be one of the best offense in all of football. 2 seasons ago, this unit averaged the most yards in football with Kellen Moore as the OC. That should be the expectation again with them. The problem, of course, is the defense. They were ass last season with hot sauce in the eyes, Mike Nolan. They allowed nearly 30 points a game.
Wait. Did you just say they were ass last season with hot sauce in the eyes, Mike Nolan?
That's right.
Just checking.
They allowed nearly 30 points a game, Jim.
Yeah, I got it.
That's right.
Okay. But now they got Dan Quinn now as the DC. Quinn's success in Seattle more than Atlanta would lead me to actually believe they will be better here. They also used their first 6 selections on their defense in the draft. The D is athletic. They have size and speed on all levels. The question is, can they actually play tackle football? I'm not sure of that. But in Jason Garrett's last 4 seasons, he averaged 10 wins per season. Mike McCarthy was brought in to take it another step. And while I don't think he'll win a Super Bowl in Dallas, I think this is his best chance to get the most out of these guys in his second year. Couple that with the most important factor here. They play in the NFC East with a favorable end-of-season schedule. I'm going over on Dallas and 9.5 wins.
All right, I want to make one point very clear right now. When we do this, we're not jerking around. Like, that's good data. That's good information. I see what you did there. I like that. All good data, and off the very top, I want to reiterate what you said. It's a 17-game season. Keep right. that in mind. My feeling is they didn't really do anything significant in free agency at all, but they did finally get Dak's deal done. The schedule is forgiving. So is their division, obviously. I do not expect them to really win anything that matters, but I will hit the over along with you, over 9.5.
Nice.
All right. So what about another team we talked about yesterday, the Steelers? Remember, they looked like potential world beaters when they ripped off 11 straight to start the year, only to unravel down the stretch head and get knocked the hell out by America's team in the postseason. To me, Big Ben is a year older, a little bit slimmer, but for whatever that's worth. In fact, what is that worth, Head? What's the number you have here? How are you playing the over-under on the Steelers?
So their over-under win number is 8.5 for the season, and it's low because they play in the best division in the AFC North, and they have actually a tough schedule. As far as Ben goes, I guess I'm glad at 39 years old he actually now decided to get in better shape. I mean, great timing, dude. But having said that, he will probably need a gym because that offensive line is the question mark, and I'm really not sure how to look at that unit. They were last in rushing yards, last in rushing attempts, and last in yards per attempt in 2020. So they needed a makeover, and pretty much the entire line is over. But I guess my problem is prioritizing. The additions seem odd to me. They didn't get around to drafting an offensive lineman until the 3rd round, and they haven't thrown a lot of cash at the position either. So Slim Ben might be running for his life. But, yes, I do love Najee Harris. He is legit, their first-round pick. But, I mean, if there's not a hole to run through, I'm not sure how effective that will be. But another big addition, I will say, is Matt Canada. He takes over as OC, and that can only be better. Their lack of imagination on O was unbearable. Horrible-ass watch. But here's why I will hit the over 8.5 wins. That defense, it's one of the best in football again. They have talent on all 3 levels. They did lose Bud Dupree, but they get Devin Bush back. Bush is damn good on the inside. And they signed Melvin Ingram this week to help T.J. Watt out on the edge. I think they are better this season than they were last season. I love that defense. Also, Mike Tomlin's entire run in Pittsburgh, he's never won less than 8 games in a season. Over 8.5 wins for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right, so I agree and I disagree. One, I agree with the fact that they were a horrible-ass watch, man. Watching them dink and dunk 2 yards at a time was horrible last year.
Brutal.
And I don't really know what I agree with. No, I mean, I agree with that. I disagree with the pick. I'm going to take the under. I don't really believe in Ben at this point, nor do I believe in the guys in front of him, as you point out. And I think they're going to be hurt by the loss of some key guys. I know they're not jumping over Cleveland in that division.
No.
Probably not Baltimore. Hell, at this point, Cincinnati probably gives them hell. So, yeah, I said it. Sorry to tell you, Steeler fan, that window is already slammed shut, been nailed down, painted over. I'm going against you, Head. I'm going to take the under. Let's do some baseball. You had Giant fan coming in to talk some junk. So we've got the Dodgers, the Giants are both in action, not against each other. How about tonight? Is there anything you see tonight, like namely Dodgers rocks?
Yes, Dodgers rocks. Home, Dodgers are home, minus 1.5 run line here. I like the Dodgers. The Rockies are the worst team in baseball on the road, be the run line. They cover 30% of their games. Also, their starting pitcher, Chichi Gonzalez, is worse away than at Coors Field. He sports a 6.64 ERA on the road. They also have the second-worst bullpen in baseball behind Arizona. David Price gets the start for the Dodgers tonight. He's only pitched 16 innings at home this season, but he's been good there, and their offense is great. They score the second-most runs in baseball at home with over 5 a game. Colorado has the worst road offense, scoring about 2. As long as the Dodgers don't use Kenley Jansen tonight, I feel good here. Dodgers minus 1.5 for a minus 140 value.
That is on the run line. I agree with you. The Rockies are, how do I put this, ass against the Dodgers. They are on the road. The Dodgers have beat them senseless. I'm with you on that. All right. How about the Giants, who just got over on the Dodgers, going up against the Pirates, who don't really get over on anybody or anything. What's the line there? How do you like that game?
I'm going to go San Fran minus 1.5 for actually a plus 110 value here, Jim. The Giants are the Phoenix Suns of the Major League Baseball regular season at this point. They are the best team in baseball against the run line. They are the best in non-division games via the run line in baseball. And the Pirates, as an away underdog, are bad. They cover 38% of their games. Their starting pitcher, Chad Kuhl, he's been good of late, but that's been at home. On the road, he's posted a over 6 earned run average. Cueto is going for the Giants tonight, and he's actually better at home. Also, another thing, San Francisco is 8-0 in their last 8 Friday games. Let's go Giants minus the run line for a plus 110.
Where do you get this stuff? The Giants are 8-0 in their last Friday games, the last 8 Friday games. I like that. I also like the Giants. They're a totally different team at home. The Pirates are pretty much garbage wherever and whoever they play. Garbage at home. Garbage on the road. Garbage as an underdog. Garbage with a bat in their hands. Garbage with a glove on their hand. I've got no problem laying the runs and taking the Giants. All right, and finally, Head, an unbelievable fister Saturday night in Vegas.
Yes.
TJ Dillashaw, Corey Sanhagen. I mean, a great, great fight. I know you love the fight and the matchup. How do you see this one, and how are you playing it?
Dude, I am so freaking geeked about this fight. It's been a while since I've been so geeked about this, and it's because the unknowns on TJ and what he will be like after his 2-year suspension for being popped for the Lance. His number is at plus 160.
Dude, did you just say he got popped for the Lance?
Sorry, EPO, my bad. For pop for the EPO. So his number is at plus 160. And I'm hitting that, Jim. Sanhagen, dude, he is a mother on his feet. He's excellent at controlling distance. TJ is also very good on his feet, and he's very unconventional. The fascination is these two dudes used to spar together, so they know who has the advantage, and I can't wait to see who that is. Having said that, TJ's more well-rounded. He was a good wrestler, and I see him being able to transition from his stand-up to take this to the ground. I honestly have no clue how he will show up from the EPO. But I'm going to go TJ plus the 160. I mean, if you want Sanhagen, you can get him at minus 200 right now.
I know you love the value. Really quickly, for those who do not follow MMA or UFC very closely, like, dude, you're hyped on all the fights. Why are you so hyped on this fight in particular?
Well, so TJ, he was on the short list for one of the best fighters in the world, regardless of weight class, before he got in trouble here, before he dropped weight. At 135, TJ Dillashaw was nearly unbeatable. This fight is at 135. He lost at 125 to Henry Cejudo, and he really shouldn't have gone down that weight. He lost 10 pounds when he really didn't have to do it. His excuse is that's why he actually used the EPO to lose that weight to go down. He never should have done that. But before that, I mean, he just crushed people. He's so unconventional with his striking. He's just next level. But having said that, Sanhagen is an athlete, and he's great standing up. So in TJ's time off, Sanhagen has been great. So I don't know. It's a great, great fight. I'd pay for this fight.
All right. Hey, yo, Pirate, let's not get crazy about I'd pay for this fight. The next fight that you don't steal. The next fight that you pay for will be the first. I don't even believe you just said that. Man, you are a liar and a felon, Head.
Dude, this is a great fight. I'm telling you.
That is one of the funniest things you've ever said. Literally, I can't even believe you just said that. I would pay for this fight.
Maybe think about paying for it, but oh, I cannot wait for this.
You literally are a felon with all the fights you've stolen. Come on, man. All right, but bottom line to me, there's no doubt. I agree with you. Dillashaw was a bad, bad mother bleeper prior to that drug suspension. Like, to your point, he was in the conversation of best in the world pound for pound. But we have not seen him since 2019. Honestly, I do not know what to expect from him Saturday night. Is ring rust going to be an issue? Is he the same guy that he was when he was using? I don't know. Sanhagen, though, is a very dangerous dude who is rising quickly through the ranks. If he's impressive enough here, it could get him a title shot. I see the value with Dillashaw. I know how good he was, Head. I just don't know how good he's going to be coming off that layoff and what he'll be like off of the juice. My point is, I'm not saying that he can't be as good. I'm not saying that he can't be better. I'm saying I need to see it first before I bet it. I'm going the other way. I'm going to take the favorite, Sanhagen. Quickly, run it down for me. What are all your bets for the weekend?
For the NFL, over 9.5 wins for the season for the Cowboys. Over 8.5 wins for the season for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Major League Baseball, Dodgers minus the run line v. Colorado tonight. Also tonight, Giants minus the run line v. Pittsburgh. And then T.J. Dillashaw in the value play at plus 160 on Saturday night.
Great job, Head. Put it up on Twitter. I'll make sure to retweet it so all the clones know what you're hitting.
Thanks, Jim.
Good job. The big head, James Kelly, with a big fat segment. I did not agree with all his picks. Sometimes I go against him and I get beat. Sometimes I go against him and I win. So keep in mind, don't bet it if you can't afford to lose it and make up your own mind. But as always, he's coming at it from a really informed position. The big head, James Kelly. Coming up next hour, Charles Robinson. Stay tuned.